are listening to the Fundamentalist Podcast.
Until the light takes us, am I right, Bog?
Hello, one and all. I'm Dual Guest, and welcome into the Fundamentalist Podcast. On today's episode, I am joined by Richard Donahue.
Greetings.
And by a very special guest, Tyler Fleming of October Noir and the Noir Hour Podcast.
What's up, man? How you doing?
I'm very well, even better now that you're joining us here. Full disclosure to the listeners at home, Mr. Tyler is actually a very good friend of mine. He was actually in the very first band I was ever in my entire life, Dread. And we've been friends for, how long is it? 11 years now? Getting along? We're getting old.
About 10 years.
Yeah. So welcome to the show. Very glad to have you on. Just kind of want to pick your brain here about what you've been up to really professionally for the last 10 years leading up to your most recent endeavors, which are the Noir Hour and October Noir, both of which seem to be quite successful. But yeah. Before we get into that, talk to us about what you've been up to.
Oh, well, I can't really span the past 10 years because that's kind of tough on me, but it's been good, man. I've been in quite a few bands. I was in Southern Grudge for probably the longest time. And Southern Grudge is just kind of a sludgy Southern COC style metal. And we had a lot of fun with that. And I'm really proud of everything that came out of that. But time marches on, and I got asked to be the drummer of this band, October Noir. So pretty much up until the point that I joined October Noir, music was kind of just secondary, just something on the weekends and whatnot. And joining this band, it's really come full circle to be really, really important.
Well, now that we're there, tell us a little bit about October Noir.
Well, October Noir, there's a lot going on there. I was fortunate enough to step in when I did, but they, what do you want to know about what's going on right now?
Yeah, just give us a brief overview. Let the listeners know, who you are, what you do.
Well, October Noir, as of now, we just released our first single off of our upcoming album, which is still being recorded. So we're doing good. We've got a show coming up. We are back in the saddle on the live front. So that is very fucking exciting for me, because there was a time this year where, we were in Brooklyn and we were hanging out with a lot of people that were really close to Typo, and we had a lot of positive feedback and had a really good time. Yeah. Yeah. Over there. But bands break up and shit happens because of personal issues. And one of our members had a personal issue. So the future was kind of unclear. But as of now, everything is good and things are rolling back pretty well.
Sounds like just a tad bit of shade there, my guy. One of our members had an issue.
Well, we don't really
know. Personal cock up.
It's just a personal thing that happens to the best of us. So, relationships and whatnot.
I got you. And then you also have a side project, A Labor of Love, that's close to our hearts, your own podcast, of which I was fortunate enough to guest on just this last week.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about the Noir Hour.
Yeah. So the Noir Hour is something really crazy. There's a radio station called Perturb Radio that was playing October Noir all the time. And I had kind of grown a friendship with these people. And I was pretty much just hanging out in their show every week, and they asked me how I'd feel about having my own station, having my own show. And I said, it sounds cool, but I can't really do that because it just seemed like a huge undertaking. But at the time I was free and we weren't doing a lot of shows live. So I said, well, let me give it a shot. So I got all the stuff to do it. And now I'm still going. So it's turned out pretty well. Radio is kind of hit and miss, because who really listens to the radio much anymore? Unless it's hosted by somebody that you really are interested in. And I've been lucky to have some people that take an interest to me. And I know that that's all because of October Noir, and I'm down for it. So, but it's been cool. It's been cool. You know, I started doing interviews, and I've had some really cool interviews. So
Paul Kerr from November's Doom.
Yes. Yeah. Huge I talked fan. To him, man. You know, I wanted to talk to him so bad. I had COVID during that interview, mm-hmm. and it sucked, man. That's the shortest interview that I've had. I mean, it sucked for me because I felt like shit, but we've got a little friendship, and he's heard of my band now, and that's cool. And we got to talk about some stuff, and I got to share my favorite November's Doom stuff with him. So,
fuck yeah.
Without further ado, let's start doing the Fundamentalist podcast, everybody. And per usual, we'd like to start off with what we've been listening to. Richard Donahue, take it away.
Really digging into a lot of new, like 2022 albums. Few of them. The new Toxic record, Dysmorta, is really fucking good. I did not expect to be as good as it was, but it's really killer stuff. They have a new vocalist, and it's just heavy as fuck, melodic, progressive, chaotic. It's really awesome. The new Graceless record came out as well, and they're kind of like a mid-tempo, bolt-throwers type death metal, and that's their third record, just came out of nowhere, kicks ass. Really, really, really well produced. Lots of bass in the mix, which I'm always a big fan of. And the new Ghost record, Impera. I've been listening to that fucker for like probably 2 weeks straight. It's the catchiest fucking album of the year. Like, goddamn, dude. As this coming from a avid Ghost hater, but holy fuck, Impera is the tits.
It is definitely tough to get out of your head. It's such an earworm. Tyler, have you heard the latest Ghost album?
I have not.
Oh man, you're missing out. You got to do it.
I tell you what, I have Seriously. Been listening to Ghost lately. I have been listening to a little bit of Ghost, and I have felt the Ghost hate, but I'm slowly coming around to really enjoying it. I really enjoyed the first album, and then I kind of fell off of them. But
yeah, Opus Eponymous is definitely their strongest work, in my opinion, anyway. But I've never really left the Ghost train, I guess you could say. Always been on board. Yeah. yeah. What I've been listening to, a lot of different shit here recently. So the latest Gotor album, Angels Hung from the Arches of Heaven, was just released, and I'm a big, big fan of it. Anytime a band is able to mix up the formula just a little bit later on in their career that makes it sound fresh, I'm a big fan of, and Gotor is able to accomplish that on this most recent release. So definitely check it out if you've not done so. I also listened to Pestilent Hex, their album, The Ashen Abhorrence. Kind of like their love letter to 90s symphonic black metal. There's definitely some Emperor and early Dimmu Borgir vibes going on. Really huge production going on. Sounds evil as fuck. Big fan. Also, Storm Ruler, their album Sacred Rites and Black Metal was also just released here. Yeah, in 2022. If you like big hooks, melodic black metal, not quite a la Stormkeep, but kind of more so in the vein of that and Ninkarsag, I guess, if you could put them together. Dissection vibes a little bit.
Yeah.
Actually definitely. Are going to emanate anytime you're doing like this melodic black metal thing. And those comparisons are apt here. And this album is awesome. Sacred Rites and Black Metal. Definitely check it out. Also, The Halo Effect just put out their debut album. It's got members of Dark Tranquility and I believe In Flames and maybe some other Gothenburg bands. Mm-hmm. Really good, really good, really solid stuff. I was kind of expecting mailed in, like, here's all of our B riffs, and we'll put together an album together and maybe tour on it. But what actually came of this project is really, really cool, and I highly recommend you check it out. Also, last but not least, Creators also has a new album that came out this year called Hate Uber Alles. I think
weird,
it's fucking
weird
sick.
Album title.
Quite apt for today's time, I would say, sir. And they're German, after all. Wink, wink. I know, Richard, you said in the Slack, not to publicize your shit talk or anything, but you haven't given a fuck about a Creator record since, 2012? Which up?
Yeah, Phantom Antichrist. So, yeah. Not necessarily bad, but I like Pleasure to Kill and Terrible Certainty. Like, a melodic Creator's cool. After a while, it's like, that's tight, man.
I don't know, man. Hate Uber Alles is definitely worth a listen. Check it out.
I'll think about it.
Even if it is for the melodies. Tyler, tell us what you've been listening to, man.
Man, I've kind of been all over the place. I haven't really been listening to a lot of music lately. The music that I have listened to has been kind of It's been crazy. I've listened to a lot of William Control lately, which is like dark wave synth. And then I've listened to a lot of Lycia, which is a band which I just interviewed the lead singer of that band last week, and I've really enjoyed that. I actually just opened up some vinyls that I got from them, and it's cool. It's very 80s. It's very atmospheric, goth, dark. It's just, I've really enjoyed that stuff. I hadn't really been listening to a lot though. When I do, I listen to Swallow the Sun lately quite a bit.
Yeah.
Swallow the Sun and Old Hymn, stuff like that. It's just been a weird spot for me lately.
And you listening to him is not a weird spot. That's been a recurring, a very consistent spot. Yeah. I found you in my time of knowing you, I might say.
Yeah. It's a rut that I can't fall out of, I guess.
Hey, if you enjoy it, there's no point in falling out of it.
Yeah.
So that's enough of what we've been listening to. Let's transition just a bit. So the last time that me, Richard, and Pete were all together, we had talked a bit about what our favorite albums that have been released so far in the year 2022. But now here we are getting really towards the back end of the year. Christmas is right around the corner, i.e. so is New Year's. Tyler, can you give us a couple of your favorite releases that have come out this year?
Man, I'm the worst to ask because it seems like I always find stuff months late.
Hey, that's fine.
Some of my favorite albums that have come out this year, dude, I could not even answer that. It's just, I haven't really been keeping up with a lot of brand new stuff. I just seem to fall into listening to all of the old tunes over and over. And that is the truth.
This is the equivalent of coming home and watching like Bob's Burgers reruns on.
Yeah, or coming home and watching The Office until it plays over and then just starting it from scratch. Yeah, that is the case.
Yeah, you got to break that cycle. You got to break that cycle, bro.
That is true.
Stick the knife in the heart of it and just fucking end it.
Yeah. I don't know how you are when you're writing music, but we've been writing a lot. So usually when I write, I tend to not listen to much music at all. Are you the same way? Or when you're writing with Vince Sternis, you just dump it in like maybe on overload?
I mean, I'm listening to music like all the time.
Yeah.
Metal is life, sir. Got the band, got the podcast, and the unhealthy fucking concert going addiction, as we all do, you know.
Yeah.
Which will be the next topic we'll get to because we've all been kind of going a little overdrive on the concerts here recently, I would say. But yeah, when it comes to writing and recording, I'm still listening to whatever. If anything, that it can help give me ideas.
Yeah. Well, if I'm going to be honest about new music I'm listening to, I've been listening to the new Demon Hunter songs that have been coming out in preparation for the new album. And I've been listening to the new Villavallo stuff that he's been making.
I think the last Demon Hunter record I remember hearing was Storm the Gates of Hell. I remember like the triptych came out in like 2006, 2007.
That's last Friday was a triptych,
Triptych, and then Storm the Gates of Hell, I think, was 2010, maybe. And that was the last one. I saw Ryan Clark is still with the band. That guy's got hella longevity.
Yeah.
I actually own the Christian metalcore scene at this point.
Yeah. I just saw them live. I actually got to meet all of those guys, and it was really cool. They put on a hell of a show live. Hard to top.
Yeah.
But
never saw them live.
Yeah, they don't tour a lot, but they did. Either. They came through Pensacola, and I got to meet them and hang out with them, and the show was incredible.
How much old shit did they play? Did they play like Undying
Summer,
and things like that?
Yeah, like they Summer actually, Darkness era stuff.
Yeah, they actually did play Undying. They played quite a bit. I mean, they've got a lot of albums, so they cut it out real well, and a lot of new stuff too.
Yeah, that band was on my rotation a lot in the early 2000s, mid 2000s for sure.
Yeah,
it's like first Summer couple Dogs, years,
killer record.
Yeah, that thing was like 2004.
Yeah, I think that was 2004 because the triptych was like 2006, I believe. So yeah, that was the follow up record.
Yeah, their new album is called Exile, and it'll be out soon. I think you'll really enjoy it. It's got some cool stuff on it.
Have you already heard it?
Well, they've been putting out singles, and They've got a song with Max Cavalera. It's pretty fucking heavy. It's pretty cool.
So, I wouldn't really have assumed that Max Cavalera would show up on a Demon Hunter album, but
no,
covered me intrigued.
Think about yeah. I got to see the Cavalera brothers this year do Arise and Beneath the Remains at Maryland Death Fest. They're fucking awesome. It was I'd expected to sound as good as they did. Like, literally, Autopsy just got done playing, and I've been lined by Autopsy merch. I'm, like, literally, like, headbanging and lying. Like, wow, Beneath Remains and Rise is, like, Dame Blair's stage. Oh.
Apparently, you're not the only one who thought they were awesome, because Max Cavalera and Igor have both expressed interest in doing more of these Sepultura reunion tours. And, you know, they'd only do that shit if they were successful the first time around, which definitely sounds like they were, both critically and, most importantly, commercially. Sepultura coming to a city near you. You had mentioned Max Cavalera showing up on Demon Hunter's newest release. Tyler, I know you're a big fan of Matt Hafey, as I am, of Trivium, and his band Ibaraki finally released their debut album this year, Rashomon, and they have some great features on that album, whether it's Nergal on one track, Isan on another, and even fucking Gerard Way from My Chemical Romance on Ronin. Did you get a chance to check out that album? I know you checked out some tracks that I had sent you. Did you ever get a chance to listen to the entire thing?
I didn't listen to the entire thing. I did listen to quite a few, though. I was really surprised by that collaboration with Gerard Way.
That was great. That was the best guest one spot, in my opinion.
Because I remember I asked Duel, I said, dude, surely that's not Gerard Way screaming like that. And it was. And I was like, holy shit. It's incredible. Yeah. Incredible.
He brought it. That whole album really brings it, honestly. I highly recommend you give it a listen. It's going to be on my top 10 of the year. No surprise, but it's so varied.
See that coming.
Yeah, it's so varied and diverse and daring in how avant-garde it is at times, especially with a genre that's not really known for being that experimental. I thought it was it exceeded my expectations, I would say. And that's, I would say it'd be tough to do, but it did it in a way I wasn't expecting. Gotta be honest, I was initially hoping for a more straightforward, just like black as fuck, like a Dark Throne worship from like Matt Hafey, but I'm not sure he has the vocals to necessarily pull that off. And so he didn't even try to, and he created something actually really unique. And I think that's actually even better than what I initially wanted. So definitely check that shit out if you haven't, sir.
Yeah, I think Matt from Trivium, when it's all said and done and we're old men, he will be at the top of the mountain in the metal world.
In my heart, he's already there, sir.
Oh, I know it.
Fanboy much?
I kind of hinted on it a little bit earlier, but I want to go ahead and talk a little bit about it now. I know we've all been kind of going a little crazy seeing these shows coming out of this post-pandemic lull, and now just the shows are coming thick and fast, and just finding myself at one seemingly almost every week. Like, I just found myself at Panopticon in Berlin, my first time ever getting a chance to see them. They had a German artist compose the violin parts for their most recent album, and again, Into the Light. And that was actually him in person on stage when I saw them in Berlin, which was amazing. I thought it was a little bit of a gimmick at first, maybe to have them on stage instead of just piping them in through the speaker, but it really started to hit a couple songs into the set. I'd say it was a really nice touch to have them on stage. I also saw Afsky, who was there on stage, and Grift. Grift is another like dark folk metal band, I guess, similar in the vein of Panopticon, but they're from Denmark. Highly recommend you check them out. Also, recently just got to see Der Weg an der Freiheit for the first time, also with Regard Leom's Tombere here in Prague. Regard Leom's Tombere is cathartic black metal band, I guess, as they're known. Like, really emotional, these huge fucking buildups, and then, you know, it just all comes to a crashing crescendo, and it's really awesome. That's kind of what they do. And I guess Der Weg an der Freiheit does the same thing, but in a slightly more traditional sense. Anyway, they had been on my list of bands that I wanted to see for a really long time, and I finally got to see them, and they were fucking phenomenal. Everything I wanted, and I just can't wait to see them again. Those are the two most recent ones. I could just blather on for a long time here. Richard, tell me about some of your most recent shows? You've gotten to see some really cool shit here recently.
Well, I was Death Fest. I discussed it in length last podcast, so I won't go to that. But that was an incredible experience. I'm really stoked for 2024, as long as the lineup is as good as this year. But I was able to see Decrepit Birth finally after trying to catch them for 10 goddamn years in New Hampshire. So that was really killer, though their bass player wasn't there. So it's just Bill, Rob, and the drummer. So it's kind of odd, but it was a really good set. They did a cover of Once Upon the Cross by Deicide, which was cool. And there's this opening band, Stabbing from Texas, and they were fucking great. Chick vocalist, so, you know, it's okay, so it's gimmick things, okay. And then, legit 100% fucking brought it. Like really kind of short, catchy songs. Yeah, phenomenal. The other openers sucked ass, to be honest. That was the best one. And I was able to go to Tattoo the Earth, which used to be like a big traveling festival in the early 2000s. And I got to see, Bleeding Through. That was, they were pretty cool. Bleeding Through, Hatebreed, Black Label Society, Municipal Waste, At the Gates, Do Slaughter the Soul, Start to Finish, which was fucking very nice. Incredible. Yeah. Because I'd heard some
first time getting to see them.
Second time. I saw them at their original reunion tour back in 08 at the Worcester Palladium. So it was cool. I got to see the same venue, but I got to see that at the outside instead of the inside. But as initially was kind of a little apprehensive because I'd seen some footage from Tompa, and his vocals weren't necessarily good, but he blew it out of the park. Knocked out of the park. Sorry. Who else there? The MBLS. The Red Cord. This is like the first show they've done around Massachusetts, like 7 years. And they were fucking incredible. Like, honestly, I thought they blew At the Gates out of the water. Like, they were fucking just great. That. And Anthrax the headliner, but I was so fucking tired I left before Anthrax. So, but
really? You skipped out on Anthrax, you bastard?
No, I wanted to, but I was like, I didn't want to stay for Black Label Society, but my buddy who, you know, was riding with wanted to stay, so I'm just like, I'm nodding off for BLS. Like, get the fuck out of here. But I saw the last show I went to was Revocation, Christian, and Inoculation. That was September 15th. That was a killer show.
So Revocation just put out a new album, Nether Heaven. Did they play new tracks from that?
They played they probably at least played half the record. So I got nice. Some good footage of the song Godforsaken. So, and it was just seeing, you know, David Davidson live play is just...
God, yeah, he's like the second coming of Dave Mustaine without the attitude. He's fantastic.
It's pretty incredible. It was like when first I saw Gorgon see Luke LeMay live. It's one of those like just holy fuck moments. Like they're trying to pick it up. I'm never be that good, so not even gonna fucking try. Christian was good. It was the second time seeing Christian, and the opening band I really liked a lot of Inoculation. They were kind of tech death, but they weren't all guitar masturbation. They actually had like riffs, like cool, like thrash parts, you know, really anthemic type shit. But that's all I've been to lately. Next week, I'm going to see Accept in Narcotic Wasteland, which is Dallas from used to be Annihilate. It's his new band. Well, not new. It's been doing for like 10 years.
Yeah.
So that's pretty sick. It's in a theater, like a literal like seated theater. So that's gonna be kind of weird. Like you have to buy seats. It's not just standing rooms. They're like seats.
I should check out Dallas's band. I saw Nile before Dallas left, and they were fantastic. And I saw Nile after Dallas left. It, no offense, it's not the same thing. So I'm assuming he had a lot to do with the magic that was Nile in those glory years, looking at you, Ithyphalic, Black Seas of Vengeance, and all that stuff. Have you heard it? Did you like it?
Narcotic Wasteland. I dig it. It's death metal. It's a little more varied than Nile, but you know, it's a lot of it does deal with like alcohol, drugs, or the effects of that. But they've kind of, the newer stuff, they got to kind of a bit past that. But
I relate to that shit, bro. Oh, yeah.
Meth is bad, okay?
Well, tread ground, sir. What about you, Tyler?
Yeah, well, you know that's an unfair question because you know where I live. I've seen a couple.
I will say, fun fact, two of the three of us have escaped, so we both know very well.
Yeah.
I think Richard actually had it worst of all in fucking, where the fuck were you in Mississippi?
Tupelo? Columbia, Mississippi.
Columbia, yeah.
Oh,
Columbia.
Yeah.
Yeah, that place is a shithole.
Yeah, so you were going down to the tavern to watch shows.
Yeah, the tavern, yeah. Or New Orleans. So
yeah.
Yeah, you were closer. You were closer to New Orleans, so you had that going on for you when Santos and like Siberia were a thing. But goddamn, having like no offense to the tavern, it did what it did as well as it could for the metal scene. But having that be like the venue for metal in your town, hard times.
Yeah, I'm not gonna lie. Yeah, it could have been up kept more and shit, and that's why more bands didn't really come on. As I hate to say. So I remember at one point, I was at the bar and Christworm was playing. They're just about to play. They're setting up and all these like college chicks walk in. Christworm starts playing. They all immediately leave.
That's the metal effect, sir.
Yes.
In action.
Yeah. You know, all the best live shows that I'm seeing lately are in Pensacola, Florida, for sure. Vinyl Music Hall, Handlebar. I did see Crowbar at Soul Kitchen, and man, that place was packed out, and I could not believe it because I remember seeing Crowbar at the Music Box, and there was just, you know, long time ago, and there was not many people there, and Crowbar packed out the Soul Kitchen, and that, and man, they sounded so good, so tight, it was awesome. So I really enjoyed the Crowbar show. I saw All That Remains in Pensacola. They did the anniversary of the Fall of Ideals, which is absolutely the
great
best
record.
Absolutely incredible.
It's their best record.
Yeah. It was, and they played it from back to front. And I've got to tell you, man, I've never seen a drummer play like that. The shit was incredible.
It's not still Shannon Lucas isn't playing with them right now, right?
Man, I have no idea.
He was with them on the Fall of Ideals before he went to join Black Dahlia Murder.
Yeah.
I don't think it's doing much of anything currently. Sorry, continue.
No, it's all good. All That Remains did put on a hell of a show. So them, and then I saw Demon Hunter recently. That's really about it, man. You know, it's tough down here for live music. I don't understand it. There's so much potential here. I cannot even begin to try and wrap my head around why things go the way they go locally. But.
Well, there is. Crowbar being a great example there from right there in New Orleans, Louisiana, and they've got that whole region all the way over there to the Florida Panhandle, really in a chokehold. If they go and play, people are going to go to this fucking show. I feel like I Hate God kind of has a similar pool. And you know what? No shade. Know who else does? Fucking Goat Whore through a lot of fucking hard work and pounding that fucking pavement. I mean, I've seen Goat Whore maybe 20 times in my life, and that's because my entire formative years, you could see them at least once a month somewhere within 45 minutes of where I was.
Yeah. Easy. I've seen them like 12 times, I think, at this point. So they were, well, that's what I saw was the, actually another show I've seen, Goat Whore and Incantation in September. That was fucking great. Bewitcher opened up to, they were killer.
Very nice.
Some local opener that they were ass. But they were killer too.
They were ass.
Yeah, I saw I Hate God late last year. I actually opened for them. I played bass for a band that opened for them, so that was fun.
Nice.
They're great, man. I mean, if they're on a small stage or a huge stage, they're really cool.
For a band that opened for them, are you trying to not give this band the time of day? Is there some dirt here?
I filled in on bass for Dread, actually.
Oh, and we already mentioned Dread on the pod.
Yeah. Dude, there is no shade towards Dread, man. I love Jason Few.
Yeah, he's a great guy.
Yeah. But it was fun because I'm a drummer, so I had the chance to fill in on bass, and it was a challenge. So that I enjoy doing that.
I remember seeing pictures of you doing that. How did that go? Because I didn't think you played bass at all. So it's like, is this really plumbing like the depths, or is this genius?
Oh no, man. No, it I had a little time to practice. I think I had about a month out to practice to learn six songs, and I did it. It went well. I had a lot of fun up there. It was weird because I didn't really know how to be on stage with a guitar in my hand because I haven't done it in so long.
Yeah, how was that transition to not be able to hide behind your drum kit and now everyone's like looking at you? You're the stringed instrument now.
Yeah,
you're a star. You're a front man.
Yeah, it was different. It was different, but I did have a lot of fun, and I didn't miss any notes. I was making sure of that. So
as long as the audience doesn't notice.
I just wish with I Hate God they would add a second guitar player again. Doesn't Brian Patton? But it's just I'm cool with just Jimmy, but that second guitar player need that extra just it'd make it so much fucking better, dude.
Yeah, even if he was just fuzz, even if it was just fuzzing back on you. I mean, even if it was just open and you know, that's funny. That's funny because I remember listening to one of y'all's episodes where y'all were talking about the new I Hate God. That when it had just come out.
Yeah, it's not that great.
Yeah. Have your feelings changed on it at all?
No. I haven't yet to listen to it. I have no listen. It's just that podcast last I listened to that record.
Yeah.
And I have no interest to go back to it, honestly.
Understood. Yeah,
it wasn't something that grabbed my attention.
Well, you know, coming off of the last one that they put out in 2014, it's kind of hard to eclipse that one.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that was a good one. That was really good. I was really impressed by that one. But yeah, that last one, it felt like they're phoning it in. It was so overproduced, too.
Yeah.
Ugh. It's like the last Weed Eater record. Love Weed Eater, but Weed Eater is supposed to be fuzzy, raw, and nasty. And that last one they put out is so produced. And on top of that, they haven't followed it up. All they do is fucking tour now. They have not cut a new record in nearly like six, seven fucking years.
I opened for Weed Eater last year, too. With Southern, nice. when I was with Southern Grudge, and man, it was they on, did Dixon. Killer live. It was
look
killer.
At you, Lord of the Underground.
Yes, yes, yes. But they were great guys. I had a lot of fun, and they sounded great. But man, dude, you talk about one of the loudest fucking shows ever.
Yeah, oh between, yeah, they're loud as fuck.
Between Weed Eater and I Hate God and just a short span of time, I don't know how I made it out to be able to hear.
Ear intact.
It's tough.
Are you an earplugs guy?
You know, I have earplugs on me and I never wear them. So it's like so counterproductive because I know that it's going to be loud as hell, but I never, ever do.
It's like, you know what? I brought the condom, but I'm gonna risk the hurt, you know.
Pretty much.
Going in raw, baby.
Yeah.
Cause I didn't take the hearing warnings seriously at all. And that little mild tinnitus that's just always there. Yeah, is a real thing, dude.
Yeah.
That's what I get for practicing in a fucking metal storage unit box for, you know, 10 years.
That is true. That is true. And now in October Noir, we have in ears. So it really saves you.
Yeah.
I start wearing earplugs myself, especially that I do construction, jackhammering, shit like that. I need to because I'm already,
getting old. It sucks. Trying to think of what else we could talk about, guys, if we're getting right out of here. First of all, thank y'all for joining us. You know,
yeah.
Short, impromptu little episode. Nice little reunion sewed over here.
Yeah. Well, let me talk about the first time I met Richard and you were there as well. It was at the Blind Mule and you were in Curse the Flesh.
So this could be amazing.
Jesus Christ. When was this, man? 2014 or so?
Eli was living with Dan in Mobile at the time, I think. So that had been, 2016, 2015.
Oh, it was Curse the Flesh, Gathering of Vultures, and Third World, I think, maybe, up there.
No, Third World wasn't there because it was me, Aaron, and Eli were there. We were just there to hang out and shit.
Okay.
Yeah, I was at the bar. I was at the bar drinking. And,
or was it Sunday Fire?
Oh, shit, dude. Don't get me lying. I have no idea.
It might have been a Sunday remember, Fire.
I do remember Gathering of Vultures, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We were like a pair for a while.
Yeah, you were. But I was talking to Richard, and I saw his Swallow the Sun tattoo, and I was like, dude, do you know who that band is? Because, you know, none of my friends knew who that was. And I was,
nah, he's like, just yeah, the poster. Man. He picked it out of the flesh.
Yeah. Yeah. He's like, yeah, man. And we started talking about that, and then we watched y'all's show. That's the last time I've been to the Blind Mule. I don't even know if they do things like that anymore, but that is,
Jewel,
I think that's...
Jewel, sorry to interrupt. You were so blackout at that show. You're playing, your eyes are like rolling the back of your fucking head. You're trying to...
That's what you do with the Blind Mule.
Yeah, that's literally why it's called the Blind Mule.
Yeah.
good times.
I remember having a great time and a lot of people saying we played a good set. That's all I was worried about. Fun fact.
Speaking of a former member of Curse the Flesh, have you kept up with Jason Long and Oracle at all?
Partially. So I see that they've released a lot of music. I can't say I've heard a lot of it. Yeah. He's so goddamn prolific.
Well, going back to the best releases this year, man, I'm going to say Perseverance by Oracle. Y'all got to check that one out. Jason actually, he actually kind of tones it down a little bit and gets away from the screaming so much in every single thing. And he actually sings quite a bit. The fucking thing is incredible, man. Oracle opened for Crowbar when I saw him, and man, it was good. It was great. I think I've played every song off of that album on my radio show. Nice. I mean, it is so good. It's definitely something y'all should check out, that album Perseverance by Oracle.
Nice. Will do. Will do.
Add to the list.
Yeah.
Anything else we want to talk about, gentlemen, before we get out of here?
Next April, on the 15th, I'll be going to Philadelphia from Decibel Metal and Beer Fest and seeing fucking Black Dahlia with Brian on vocals and Worm's first fucking live show ever. Fucking stoked, man.
After you will have assuredly put their most recent release on your top 10 albums of the year episode later this year.
Yeah, Blue Nothing. Yeah, it should ship. I believe it ships Monday. I ordered the vinyl and the CD.
so you can listen in the car and at home.
Indeed.
Gotta get you no free advertising or anything. Just get yourself a streaming account with like one of the many services out there. Just kind of eliminates the need for physical media.
I do. I have to say Spotify, but bands I like to support. Hell, the whole wall here of just CDs and vinyl. Well, mostly CDs and a few vinyls, but yeah. I support physical media.
That's very noble of you. After I had to get rid of all of my CDs moving over here to Europe, I kind of lost my affinity for CDs. I still buy vinyl, still buy a fuckload of vinyl, but as far as just listening to music on an everyday basis, streaming is just so much more convenient.
Yeah, I think the CDs are more or less of just a support thing, because they say that nobody listens to CDs anymore, but people sure buy them. We've ran out of our second album on cassette or on CD. So,
say cassette. Wow, people are really going fucking underground. Yeah. I know cassettes are having a moment again here, because we haven't thought about doing it. Because in black metal, really putting out a cassette on your new release is like the thing right now, bro. But
yeah, people still buy CDs. There's orders coming in every week for an album of ours, and it's really, really fucking weird to see.
Well, I hope that continues.
Yeah, I mean, it's awesome. We're totally sold out of the second album. We're thinking we really need to redo it and, you know, reorder. But people buy.
Speaking of buying, tell people where they can find your music, Tyler.
All right. Well, you can find our music on all streaming services, YouTube, Spotify, Apple Music, all that. And our website is octobernoir.org. And that is where you can find the CDs and the t-shirts and the merch and whatnot.
And tell people where they can listen to the Noir Hour.
The Noir Hour is going to be on perturbradio.com every Wednesday. So, and I also have I've got a Facebook, the Noir Hour, and that basically just gives you an update every Wednesday and here and there when I've got some stuff going on. I've been doing a lot of interviews, and I roll the interviews over to YouTube. That way, you know, you can kind of watch it. You know, it's always more fun, you know, if you're interviewing someone to get to, you know, get to see it firsthand instead of just listening to it. That really keeps your attention. And it's always a lot of fun. So yeah, you can check out the Noir Hour on Wednesday nights on perturbradio.com.
Well, thank you, Tyler. Thank you very much for joining us here on the Fundamentalist Podcast. Richard, thank you for joining us as well. To the listeners at home, thank you. And we'll be speaking with you next time. Bye.
See ya.